The quiet legwork of building trust in elections, removing obstacles to turnout, ensuring voters can cast ballots, urging acceptance of results, has long been carried out by non-governmental organizations and multilateral bodies in countries with emerging or shaky democracies. Caitlin Babcock reports on how that knowledge is now being applied in the United States through bipartisan resilience networks, aiming to push back against rhetoric that seeks to undermine election integrity. Among our other stories today, Syria's new parliament is preparing to overhaul the country's laws after years of civil war. In the U.S., power utilities are struggling to keep up with the enormous surge in electricity demand driven by artificial intelligence's rapid expansion. And in China, the ancient tradition of caring for mothers after childbirth, known literally as sitting the month, is morphing into an upscale experience for those who can afford it. It's Wednesday, August 5th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Chris Sherman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The Department of Justice announced a settlement with OpenAI. The $3.2 million settlement concerns allegations that the artificial intelligence giant and a subsidiary discriminated against U.S. workers in their hiring practices, instead favoring workers with temporary employment visas. OpenAI, the parent company of ChatGPT, is preparing for an initial public offering, though the company may not go public until next year as it seeks a $1 trillion valuation. Todd Blanche's nomination for Attorney General cleared a key hurdle. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 12-10 on party lines to advance Todd Blanche's nomination for Attorney General. Republicans Tom Tillis and John Cornyn had said they would oppose the nomination until Mr. Blanche guaranteed in writing that the administration's $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, which they feared could be used to pay January 6 rioters, would not move forward. Mr. Blanche, the acting attorney general, provided a statement affirming the fund was dead. Mr. Cornyn and Mr. Tillis joined their colleagues in sending his confirmation to a vote by the full chamber. Also, a man was arrested on suspicion of arson in the wildfire in Spokane, Washington. The Spokane County Sheriff's Office said they believe the man, a previously convicted felon, is linked to the Old Trails wildfire. That blaze is part of the Spokane Complex fire, which has forced the evacuation of tens of thousands. The fire remained uncontained, but improving weather conditions gave firefighters a brief reprieve. The Old Trails fire was initially reported August 1st and had burned more than 3,000 acres by Tuesday. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The U.S. intervention in Japan to help steady the yen, a move not taken since the height of the Asian financial crisis, was motivated as much by American self-interest as it was by a desire to help out a close ally. Howard LaFranchi reports for The Monitor. Two GOP senators who are leaving office temporarily withheld their approval of President Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General over concerns with an administration policy. It might be a sign that Republicans without an election to worry about feel more free to disagree with this president. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. Syria's parliament is back up and running. It has a limited amount of leverage over government decisions, but many Syrians are expecting big things from these lawmakers. Taylor Luck reports from Damascus, Syria, for the Monitor. Examples of America's political polarization are easy to find. Instances of cooperation across party lines might be more elusive. But they are happening, including across the country, networks of Republicans and Democrats working together on the vital issue of elections. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for the Monitor. Efforts to modernize the aging electric grid in the U.S. amid surging demand for power are running up against challenges, including bureaucratic delays. Lauren Belsey reports for the Monitor. China's ancient tradition requiring a month of special postpartum care is evolving into an upscale, spa-like experience and slowly migrating to the West. And Scott Tyson reports from Beijing for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on how Africa is plowing a different growth path. Perhaps more so than in other parts of the world, Africa has been jolted by global trade shocks, epidemics, and climate uncertainties in recent years. At the same time, foreign aid has slowed to a trickle. Yet, amid all this, the continent's one bright spot has been agriculture, which is evolving from subsistence farming into sustainable livelihoods. Investors from the Middle East, Asia, and Europe are putting money into African agriculture, seeding the ability of farmers there to intensify and diversify their crops and livestock with an eye toward processing raw materials for export. These investments signal a shift from resource exploitation by outside interests to an approach that recognizes African countries as reliable producers and trade partners. African agriculture is rapidly becoming a proving ground for global investment, according to Bloomberg News. Recent investment deals blend commercial interests with social development projects, such as building infrastructure, creating permanent jobs, and sharing technological know-how. This framework, Bloomberg observed last October, can improve productivity for the benefit of the host country and its overseas backers. Last year, the European Investment Bank deployed one-third of its portfolio in Africa, or 3.1 billion euros, about $3.57 billion, with an emphasis on improving agriculture value chains. This year, China eliminated tariffs on goods from 53 of 54 African nations after okaying a range of new agricultural imports. Qatar has put in $1.5 billion to improve irrigation in Ghana, helping create an estimated 2,500 jobs. And Angola has signed co-production agreements for local farmers with Brazil and the United Arab Emirates that will retain 40% of output within the country. These investments are spawning agripreneurs who are turning to digital platforms, communication, and data to enhance productivity and marketing. Analyst Landry Signier of the Washington-based Brookings Institution argues that Africa is well-positioned to harness the latest technologies to leapfrog to new food production methods. Tech-savvy farmers are boosting employment, trade, and new agriculture-related companies. This mix, the Economist wrote this week, could be a boon for Africa and force a rethink of what is meant by farming and manufacturing. In 2024, the African Development Bank Group estimated the continent's food and agribusiness industry would surge almost fourfold by 2030, reaching $1 trillion. With a total population greater than that of India or China, Africa has an estimated 60% of the world's remaining uncultivated yet arable land. Instead of seeking to follow the industrialization paths pursued by Asia and Latin America in recent decades, the continent has an opportunity for a different growth model, one suited to its priorities and potential. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we gain a deeper understanding of joy-filled spiritual life, we find that satisfaction and a sense of fulfillment are natural to us. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Madara Udoekong, and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.